And welcome back. Recent and persistent rains have produced an inevitable outcome: high river levels, flash flooding, some neighborhood damage and destruction. We've seen worse, but if the rain continues, how much worse can it get? An update now from people who keep an eye on such things. Joining me in studio is Matthew Hun, Chief of Emergency Management for the St. Louis District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. With us by phone is Mark Fuchs, Service Hydrologist with the National Weather Service. Thank you both, gentlemen, for being with us. Let's get the latest. It's a dry day today so far. Where are we going with all this rain?
Well, unfortunately, we do have more on the way. There's a flash flood watch that's in effect for much of the area for later on tonight and into early tomorrow morning. Beyond that, we're looking at opportunities for more rain as we get into the next several days. And indeed, the month of July is taken as a whole. We're looking at above average chances for above average rainfall from basically St. Louis southward, covering most of southeast Missouri and into western Kentucky and across all of southern Illinois. So it's with us, and it looks like it's going to be with us for a while. The outlook beyond July is not quite as favorable for persistent rainfall, so maybe we'll catch a break by August, but at least for the next few weeks, we'll still be under the gun, I'm afraid.
Well, we had a record in June, or tied a record, as I recall, and it looks like we might be heading in the same direction this month then.
Well, in terms of rainfall, yeah, the month of June, this was the wettest month that we've ever had in St. Louis recorded history. We go looking at the all the months of the year, this turned out to be the second wettest month of any month on record. So certainly a phenomenal month for rainfall here. Not everybody got quite that much rain. In my own backyard, I had about 2 inches less, so there was some variation across the St. Louis area, but still a significant month of rain.
Right. Well, let me turn to Matt now. Matt, so what does it mean for the high water? We've seen a lot of flash flooding. We've seen a lot of damage and destruction already. Rivers are above flood stage. Where are we going with this continued rain?
Well, we've got everybody, as Mark said, it just keeps raining.
Yeah.
And all of our rivers right now have been at or above flood stage for the last month. We opened our emergency operations center on 18th of June, and we haven't stopped since. And Mark's not letting me know that we probably won't close anytime soon. Yeah. So what we're trying to do is to get out there to help improve public safety and awareness, make sure that the levees are holding up and doing well. And right now, we're doing pretty good.
Where are we in general in terms of flood stage?
We're at a nice little dip in things for us. We haven't had any major problems. Winfield, although I will say that's very relative. You talk to the people out in Winfield that got flooded, the people down in Jefferson County that had some flash flooding problems as well. It's very relative. But overall, most of the levees are holding up well. We've got a few problems that we're dealing with, and we'll continue to monitor those through the rest of the summer.
And you're looking at not only the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers, but your territory, if I can put it that way, is a couple of hundred miles from where we are right now.
Right. We extend from Cape Girardeau on the Mississippi up to just south of Hannibal, and we go up the Illinois River up about 100 miles there, too. So. Yeah.
So that's a lot of territory, a lot of water between here and there. Mark, back to you. I've heard a lot of people say, and of course this is different this year so far, but a lot of people say it reminds them of 1993, that awful, the great flood of 93. This is not anywhere near that, but the persistent rain, this onslaught of rain, is reminiscent of that.
It is, Don. I mean, when you look at the month of June, especially. June of 93 was very, very similar to that, just looking at that 1 month. I'm afraid that's where the similarities end, though. When you go back and look at 93, and then you look at the previous winter and the previous fall prior to all that, we were coming out of a dry period in the late 80s, early 90s, and then we had a very wet fall in 92. And then a rather normal winter of snowfall, maybe a little bit above normal, 92-93, and then the spring kicked in with a lot of rain. Here, we didn't really get all that much rain in the spring. I mean, periods here and there, but it wasn't all that persistent. taken on a whole, it was a little bit above average as you look at April and May, but then June really came on like gangbusters here. What's amazing to me, Don, is the fact that, you know, back in March I was going out to many of the customers and partners that Matt interfaces with routinely along the Illinois and the Mississippi, and we had several meetings, and I kept saying the same story, which was basically we don't have much snow on the ground this year. The chances for flooding this spring, and it was a 90-day outlook, including March, April, and May. The chances for flooding were really at all-time lows. We weren't really expecting much of any flooding based solely on snow cover and the outlook at the time. And for the most part, that outlook verified. We really didn't get that much flooding during the spring. But, boy, did it turn around on a dime in June. We've had record flooding already on the Illinois River at two locations, actually three, at LaGrange Lock and Dam down at Maradoja and in Valley City, Illinois, on the Illinois River, very, very close to a record flood there. So phenomenal flooding there. We also had record flooding, although the periods of record are not as long, but record flooding up on the Middle Fabius and the North Fabius River near Ewing, and also on the South Fabius River near Taylor. And you may have heard in the news some of the repercussions from that historic flooding that took place about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I guess we all heard about that. Matt, let me turn to you, and I'll show you just how ignorant I am of such things. If we're having record flooding in some places upriver, why aren't we having record flooding everywhere?
Well, the river basin gets wider. I mean, it's not the same. It's a little narrower. You go all the way up to the headwaters of the Mississippi, and you can walk across it. You get down towards New Orleans, it's pretty expansive. So there's a lot of development. There's a lot of other things. The channel changes as you move from upstream to downstream.
But, you know, you talk about development. We hear whenever we have a lot of water in the rivers, a lot of complaints from farmers downriver, for instance, that it's all this pavement and asphalt and concrete that we have here, the impervious, if you will, that the water has no place to go but the rivers, and they suffer the consequences. Is that an apt conclusion?
Well, that's all part of the mitigation aspect that the counties and everybody are trying to work with. They're trying to control the runoff. Part of that's our reservoirs, that we try to hold some of that water back to lessen the impacts of the flooding downstream as well.
If we could find a way to get some of this to California, we'd be doing a good thing, wouldn't we?
They'd probably take it right about now.
Mark, do you have any suggestions for what California can do to solve their problem there?
Pray for rain.
Rain.
It's they've been under this persistent ridge of high pressure on the wrong side of that ridge too, the dry side, and you know that dryness out in California is actually somewhat connected to our wetness here. You know, we have troughing on the other side of that semi-permanent ridge along the West Coast, and that troughing has led to short waves, what we call short waves, miniature troughs, so to speak, moving along a frontal boundary, a semi-permanent frontal boundary that's been draped across the middle of the country, and it's produced waves of heavy rain and some severe weather, too.
Matt, how does this year compare with recent years? I mean, obviously it's worse than it was last year, but over the last decade or so, where are we?
Well, there's always comparisons between 93, the flood of record, and now. But what I will say is there's been a lot of things. Mark kind of touched on the hydraulics and the hydrology of it all. But what we're looking at now is we've done a lot of things since 93 to improve the situation. So what I'm seeing from my standpoint sitting in emergency operations, I'm getting less phone calls, less requests for sandbags, less calls from communities saying, help us out. We're doing a lot of things throughout the rest of the year, working with the communities, doing public meetings with Mark Fuchs and other agencies, going out and telling people, because all that work leads up to an event that's occurring now. You can't do a lot of things during a flood event. So if you do it when it's dry and when people aren't thinking about flooding, you see the benefits now. And that's really what we're seeing. I mean, a lot of people aren't calling in. There's not as many major impacts to the performance that we're seeing right now.
What is the Corps' responsibility in times like this?
We work to ensure public safety by putting our people out there. We've got about 100 people right now in the St. Louis district. Kansas City district also picks up the Missouri River outside of St. Charles, St. Louis County, upstream of Washington. So, but just St. Louis district, I got 100 people out that are involved with going out into the communities, providing technical support, direct support if necessary, to go out there and to keep people safe. So they're patrolling the levees up on the Illinois River, up at Maridosha where they had the record flood. They've been up there helping out with the community, telling them where to put sandbags, how to address deficiencies in the system, working that way. A lot of it's technical support. Somebody gets in there and we get a phone call from Kimswick or somebody in Jefferson County that says, hey, we've got a problem. Every emergency manager doesn't deal or focus on flooding. But when it becomes an issue, we're the experts and they can call us.
I was a little surprised to hear over, I guess, last weekend that even down at Lake of the Ozarks, they had to take special precautions down there because the lake had gotten so high.
Right, and the Corps doesn't control that lake.
No, I know.
But what we got into is I know the governor was meeting with my Kansas City counterpart, what was it, yesterday, to talk about these sort of things. So it's really a systems approach, and we're doing a pretty good job. And I say we, it's not just the Corps, it's the counties, the state, working with the Weather Service and all, to make sure that we're trying to take all this water and figure out where it can all go with the least amount of impacts.
Mark, back to you. When we watch the television newscasts at night on our friendly meteorologists, they put an awful lot of emphasis on the jet stream. What's going on with the jet stream, and how much of a factor is that with what's going on?
Well, it has been moving across our area. In other words, bringing a lot of what I mentioned earlier, short waves, out of that semi-permanent trough off to our west over the last several weeks, and that led to the mess that we saw last month in June with the record rainfall. And it hasn't moved that much. It's still around. I mean, we have this frontal boundary draped across the area today. And yesterday we had a very chilly day for this time of the year. It never got out of the low 60s. And in fact, there's a few spots north of us that had high temperatures of 59. And here we are, you know, June the 8th or June the 9th, and it's, you know, that chilly. It's hard to fathom sometimes. And then, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, there's all the heat out in California, and they're also baking down the southeast and fairly dry down there. There's some drought developing in parts of South Carolina down into South Georgia and North Florida. So we're not having to deal with the drought, thankfully, but we're certainly getting the other end of it.
Are both situations, the drought and what we're going through here, the result of climate change?
Oh, that's a tough question, Don.
I think it's one that everybody raises, however, in situations like this.
And you look when you look at the individual event, you really can't say that, you know, this event is due to climate change or that event. You know, when you take them as a whole, when you see drought after drought after drought in specific areas, or excessive rainfall increasing and excessive rainfall events increasing over a period of years and decades and beyond that, maybe you can start saying, well, yeah, I see a trend here, and this wasn't happening in the 100 years before that so much. But when taken in the near term, no, you really can't point to this particular month or even this particular year and say, well, this is climate change. See, I told you so. It doesn't. Climate change is really looking at decades and then centuries more so than, you know, individual very wet years or even a few years. But the one thing I will say is that, you know, since I've been back in Missouri, and I've been here now for about 8 years, we have seen a lot of high precipitation events and a lot of record flooding in this part of the country and points east. You remember several years ago, Nashville went underwater. A large part of that city was flooded. And of course, Matt alluded to 2013, and we had all the flooding, you know, down the lower Mississippi, and same year, the upper Missouri was you know, at record, you know, high water behind some of the reservoirs with record high snowpack up into that basin. And, of course, there was 2008 and a long list of flooding. So, you know, when you know, after a certain amount of time, you have to stop and say, well, this isn't what we used to see, you know. Mm-hmm. And perhaps there is something to that. But just to hone in on 1 year, it is difficult.
Yeah, I certainly understand what you're saying, but one of the things I hear a lot is the fact that climate change, you can't identify 1 year as being representative of it, but the climate change also affects extremes, so that you have a lot of hurricanes, for instance, and you know more drought than usual or more rain than usual, that's part of the whole climate change profile.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Matt, how about you with regard to your thoughts on this? Do you see anything? Have you seen anything recently that makes you think along those lines?
Well, what I'll say is that we've worked a lot of floods in the last 10 years or so. Yeah. And I've been dealing with flooding, working for the Corps of Engineers since 93 on flooding. So the last few years have been real busy. We work real hard to try to finish up the repairs prior to the next flood event and be prepared for the next flood.
Well, it looks like we're going to get some more rain tonight. The weekend looks relatively dry. When you have a couple of days of dry weather, how does that affect the river, or does it?
Well, it gives us – once the crest passes or it stabilizes, we still put our guys out there. It gives us an opportunity to take a look at those – at the drain structures that are out there, at possible damages that caused when the river was up just a little bit. Knowing that it's going to come back up, we don't want to slow down and take our eyes off of it. And I don't encourage anybody else that lives out there to do the same. It's important that everybody continues to remain vigilant and watchful.
Right. We have a caller who wants to get into this discussion. We have a few minutes left. Let's bring in Art calling from St. Louis. Art, go ahead, but please make it a quick question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dad. All six of my rain barrels are overflowing. They say it always goes downhill. And then they also always say, be aware globally, but act locally. I'm wondering, does NOAA go ahead, along with the land satellites, observe that you shift, a lateral shift, by virtue of the changing of the currents, the Pacific currents, and also the land development formations? I'm talking northeast Thailand is undergoing a heavy drought. You got excessive precipitation over in Hungary and Romania, and I'm seeing in my own observation as a stock pond specialist from the 1930s in the drought that the man's land development and the changing with respect to oil on the surfaces and the estuaries and bayous and so forth, they cause a change in the precipitation with respect to the light going into the demosses and generating oxygen.
All right, I think you're taking us a little bit away. Taking us a little bit away from this part of the world, but let's see. Does anyone have any response to what Art has been talking about?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mark.
I don't know. He was talking about the global impacts, and certainly you see that every year. And it's hard for me anyway to really get a pulse on that. But at least as far as my agency is concerned, because the Weather Service is primarily focused on, you know, primarily the near term forecasting. We do have a new agency, the Climate Prediction Center, that comes out with longer term outlooks, and they do look, you know, more at the global impacts of climate change, and you know, I would recommend anybody that's interested to go to climate.gov and check out what they have on there. It's interesting information, and it's, you know, unbiased. It's just information that climate scientists are gathering on what's been happening. So interesting stuff, but it's not really in the domain of the Weather Service per se to get into that per se.
Matt, where can you send folks to get more information about what's going on locally? I'm sure there's an online opportunity to learn more about what's happening.
Yeah, the St. Louis District has a website. We're also on Twitter and Facebook to get good information. I've got a public affairs person sitting inside my emergency operations center looking at that. Probably the easiest way to do it, because our address is so long, it's just to Google St. Louis District Army Corps of Engineers. We have on there levee updates. We've got the forecast from the Weather Service are on there, and good, useful, helpful information to everybody here in the area.
What kind of pressure is being put on our sewer lines and some of the infrastructure that you mentioned a moment ago?
We're noticing probably this year some issues with some pump stations and everything. So you start changing the loading characteristics and the wet soil around these pipes, we're finding some problems, and we're continuing to work with that. I mean, that's just part of it.
And the debris in the river?
No real issues with debris, although I guarantee you when the river goes down, there will be stuff all over Lenore K. Sullivan and across the river. So it's just it's part of what goes on.
And the Corps' responsibility when it comes to all that stuff floating around?
The debris is not doesn't fall under the Corps of Engineers' responsibility.
I guess you're happy about that.
Yes. The water, dealing with Mark's water is tough enough sometimes.
Just a few seconds.
Matt, when has it become my water? I thought it was your water.
Well, I don't think you're going to get a response to that, Mark. Is there a final thought very quickly, Matt, that you'd like to leave us with?
The Corps of Engineers remains ready and responsive to help keep the people of Illinois and Missouri safe.
Okay. How about you, Mark?
Be careful whenever we have big events, especially in the midst of flash flood potential. We have a common saying, turn around, don't drown. And unfortunately, we did lose some lives this past week in Jefferson County with a very big flash flood event down there just south of Festus. And we hate loss of life in these areas. But
I've got to leave it there. I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you so much, Matt Hoon. Thank you for being with us, and Mark Fuchs. Got to end it there. Join Steve Potter tomorrow, that is, for Cityscape. He'll remember the life and career of jazz pianist Ray Kennedy, who passed away in May. He'll have lots more for you as well. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with author, editor, and public policy analyst Goldie Taylor. St. Louis on the Air, produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Evita Caldwell, Aaron Dorr, and Anya O'Connor. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Don Marsh.